All right. We are on Daled Amud Beis. We started the discussion last week about what happens when Shabbos and Yom Tov are in sequence. And we had two issues that we discussed. One question was whether we view them as one Kedusha or two Kedushas. And the other question was, am I concerned about Hachana Derava, the idea that Shabbos cannot be prepared for by Yom Tov, that is the preceding day, or Yom Tov, if it's a Sunday, cannot be prepared for by Shabbos, that is the preceding day. So we had seen a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, right? You remember that discussion already. That was Rav versus Rabbi Yochanan, and then we had the host who asked the question about the egg that was laid on the first day. He can use it on the second day, and so on. And now we're going to see more about the view of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, when we had the previous discussion about the eggs, said that when you have a consecutive Shabbos and Yom Tov, those are two different kedushos. One does not; it's not the same as the other. So therefore, the fact that it's muktzah day one does not mean that it's going to be muktzah day two. And he also said that he does not believe in the problem of hachana derabba, and therefore, if the egg is laid on the first day, it may be used on the second day. So if the egg is laid on Shabbos, you could use it on Sunday. You can cook it on Sunday. If the egg is laid on Yom Tov, which is Friday, then you can eat it raw on Shabbos. You can't cook it because you couldn't cook it the first day. It was Muktzah, and you can't cook on Shabbos. Okay, that's just by way of introduction. So Rabbi Yochanan says two kedushos and no problem using the product of the first day on the second day. So we're now four lines down on Daled Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzim shenashru min hadekel of b'Shabbos, Asur lahasikan b'Yom Tov. If wood falls off of a palm tree on Shabbos, palm tree is non-specific, it doesn't matter what tree we're talking about, you are not allowed to use it as firewood the next day on Yom Tov. So this is surprising, given everything I know about Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the first day and the second day are separate kedushos, so therefore there isn't any carryover from the first day. And he says that there's no issue of hachana derabba. So I should be allowed to use the egg from the first day on the second day. And he writes, V'al tishiveni beitza. He anticipates that we're going to ask him, wait a minute, we learned your position regarding eggs, and there should be no issue. He says, don't answer me about eggs. My time, or why? Beitza mishum debiyoma nami chazya legoma, v'lo kasharila ad lemachar, made the idea debas yoma asura. He says, what happens with eggs is, the egg, theoretically, could have been eaten raw on the first day, even if the first day was Shabbos. Hypothetically, you could have eaten the egg, and the fact that you didn't eat the egg broadcast to the world, okay, an egg laid today is off limits today. The fact that you didn't eat it broadcast to everybody that the egg is off limits. So that's true for the eggs. But Eitzim, Delochazu Leyomayu, the wood has no use on Shabbos. So ishari lehu lamachar, if you're going to permit people to use it the next day, asi lemeimar biyomayu nami sharu, ve'atmo mishum Shabbos hu delochazu lahasaka. He says,
that's only true
if Shabbos is the first day. Correct. This is only an issue if Shabbos is the first day. If Yom Tov is the first day, this isn't an issue. But just to unpack what Alan picked up here, what we're saying is this. When you're dealing with, I'm going to start with the wood. Starting with the egg confuses me. I'm going to start with the wood. In the event that the wood falls from the tree on Shabbos, and people don't use it on Shabbos, but then they use it the next day on Sunday, what conclusion are people going to draw from the fact that it was used on Sunday, but it wasn't used on Shabbos? Well, they could draw the right conclusion, which is, it's off limits the first day, it's moved to the second day. But they could also...
Different kedushas.
Well, different kedushas and everything we said before, no hachana derabba and so on, they could make the proper deduction. That the egg was usher yesterday, and it's mutter today. Wow. But they could also make the wrong deduction, which is that it's mutter both days.
Right.
Then why didn't I use it yesterday? Because it was Shabbos. That's what people might deduce. Therefore, we tell you, don't use the wood on day two. Granted that you're now taking wood away from people for day two, okay, it's not so nice. Nonetheless, it'll avoid people potentially thinking that wood is mutter on the day that it falls from the tree. Because in the case where it falls from the tree on Yom Tov, then they're going to think it's mutter, and they're going to think that they can use it, when in fact you're not allowed to. So in order to protect people, to keep people from making this mistake, you have a rabbinic decree of don't use the wood on day two. As opposed to in the egg case. In the egg case, there is no such concern. Why? Because even if I use it on day two, everybody can see that I didn't use it on day one.
Even though you, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're allowed to use it on Shabbat.
When no one allows you to use it on day one. Chazi in the sense that it's practically usable, not halachically usable. Chazi legoma, that you could have theoretically used it, you could have drunk it, and it wouldn't have been any cooking issue involved. So the fact that you didn't use the egg on day one, the fact you didn't eat it raw, it will tell everybody, oh yeah, you can't use the egg on the day that it's on the day that it's
still
late.
Confused. If you could eat it raw, you would still allow to do this on Shabbos. No one
allows the use of the egg on the first day.
Even raw.
Correct. The egg on the day that it is laid, that's the Beis Hillel. That's Beis Hillel back in our original mission, right. Beis Hillel to be Yom Tov. I just want to finish with Charlie. I confused one person at a time. So that's the idea. The egg theoretically could have been used yesterday on day one, and therefore when you didn't use it on day one, that told everybody that it's also on day one. And therefore the fact that you are going to use it on day two isn't going to cause confusion. The wood you didn't use on day one, and people are going to assume it's for an extraneous reason. It's because it's Shabbos. And that's why we say, make sure you don't use it on day two. Yes?
What is the Oichel Nefesh distinction? Does that enter into it at all, between Deco and Bea?
No.
Why?
Why should it?
Well, because there's simple shunted. You got simply got Oichel Nefesh. I can make a distinction between why you couldn't use the wood versus why you can eat the egg.
But it's not so. I could put wood in fire because of Oichel Nefesh. Right? And the Mitoch and for other purposes also. I would be allowed to put wood and fire under that. The only reason why I can't is because really what we have here is a third factor. The reason why the wood is off limits is a third factor. Not because of one Kedusha, two Kedushas, not because of Achana Derabba, but rather because of a unique Gezerah, lest people use it on the first day when the first day is Yom Tov. That's the concern. And I brought it for you on your sheet. In Source Aleph, you see Gimel Inyanim. There are three separate factors. One Kedusha versus two Kedushos. Hachana Diraba. And then this unique Gezerah, Shema Yishtam Shu B'Yom Shu Rishon, unless they use it on the first day, when the first day actually is Yom Tov.
Why the egg? Because the egg
you demonstrated you're not using. Because the egg had a hypothetical way in which it could be used if it was a mutter egg, and you didn't use it, that shows that it's an usser egg. Let me see if I can figure out another way. Let's say you saw. Okay, forget Yom Tov, forget Shabbos, forget sequential days. Don't think about that at all. In general, you walk into somebody's house, you see that, and you know that today is Shabbos, okay? You know now today is Shabbos. We forgot everything else, but we know today is Shabbos. You walk into the house, and you see that on the table there's an egg sitting there. You say, oh, mind if I eat that? And they say, actually, we do mind, you can't eat that. Right? And you say, but I'm not going to cook it, and I'm going to have it raw. And they say, yeah, but you still can't. Why? Because it was laid today.
Why is it on the table?
Thank you. To support the mita. That was last week.
No.
It was not a bit. We dealt with that already. Yeah, that was quite the film.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't work for the bed. That's our first scenario, okay? Our first vignette, so to speak, is you walked in, you saw the egg on the table, you asked, hey, why aren't we eating that? And their answer is, because the egg is muktzah, because the egg was laid today. Got it?
Yeah, okay.
One
second. I'm serious. That's what I was just thinking.
Okay, so it's not on the table. Yeah. So the egg isn't on the table. The egg is on the floor. It doesn't make a difference. The egg was brought in by the non-Jewish collector of the eggs who put it down on the table.
Okay.
It doesn't make a difference.
Go ahead.
Second case. Don't bother me about where this wood is. There's wood sitting on the table. Okay? And it's Shabbos. I walk into the house. am I going to ask them, hey, why are we using that wood? The fire is low. Why don't we put that in the fire in the fireplace?
Well, probably not.
Why not? Why won't they ask that question?
Because
it's Shabbos. Because it's Shabbos. So
then this whole gazera should only be.
Wait, you're three steps ahead. I'm still trying to get the basics here. The point is.
All right. So somehow we're saying that Jews will know that burning wood on Shabbos is absolutely forbidden.
Are you using
correct?
And therefore, but they may not.
And therefore, they're not going to ask you. No. And therefore, nothing to do. Don't mix wood and eggs. Okay? Popcorn and oranges. Don't mix them. When it comes to the egg, person walking in the house doesn't understand why you're not using it and asks, why aren't we using it? When it comes to the wood, the person knows why we're not using it. It's because it's Shabbos. Having nothing to do with when it fell from the tree. The wood could have fallen from the tree 3 months ago.
That's clear.
Okay. To put it, that's the way he's going to make his assumption. So now, we're now bringing Yom Tov back into the picture. Shabbos is the first day, Yom Tov is on Sunday. When I use that egg on Sunday, which is Yom Tov, is that going to cause people to think that you could have theoretically used it on Shabbos the previous day?
Well, obviously that's the whole argument.
No, it's not. Think about it. That's not what the argument is. When people see that I use the egg on Yom Tov the next day, are they going to assume there must have been mutter all along? The answer is no. Because they saw that I didn't use it yesterday, and the only explanation for why I didn't use it is because you can't use an egg that's laid that day. There is no other possible explanation that you can offer. Let me do it this way. Here. I'm going to draw out a chart and pass it around. We have two different things here. We have an egg, and we have wood. On the audio, Gerard, there are three rows. Never mind. Okay. If you're talking about Shabbos, okay? And you see that I'm not using an egg that was laid that day. There are two different possible explanations you could offer for why you're not using the egg, right? Explanation number one for why I'm not using the egg is because the egg... Actually, there's only one reason why. Is because the egg was... Yeah, you know, I can even do it differently. Do it this way. This is better. One column is that the reason why I'm not using it is because it was laid that day. Okay? And the other reason why is because the item is itself is inherently usser. With the wood, I can't burn it. So I'm just going to call that other reason. With the egg, if the egg is laid on Shabbos, the only reason I can't use it that day is because it was laid that day. There is no other reason why I can't use the egg that day. As long as I eat it raw.
Right.
Okay. With the wood, there are two reasons why I wouldn't use it that day. Number one, the wood fell off the tree that day. And number two, because you can't burn wood on Shabbos. Right? So there's another reason as well. Burning. Understood? Okay. So, let me just move this off to the side so this is more visible. So now, someone walks into my house on Shabbos and sees that I'm not using the egg. Right? He asks, hey, can we have the egg? The answer is no. He knows why. It's because the egg was laid that day. Someone comes into my house and sees the wood and that we're not using it. Does he even ask me why we're not using it? No. Because he assumes the reason is because burning is usser. Right? That's the assumption that he makes walking in. So now, this is the leap. The leap here, and this may be what's where you're getting stuck. If I use the item the following day, right? If I use it on Sunday, it's not going to lead me to misunderstand what happened with the egg the previous day. Because the only explanation for why I didn't use the egg is because it was laid that day. So I'm not going to get confused. However, if I use the wood the next day, people are going to think to themselves, well, if you could use it this day, you could probably also have used it yesterday. The only reason you didn't is because of the other reason.
Even though yesterday was Shabbos?
Yeah, that's exactly it. We're going to think the only reason I couldn't use it yesterday was because of the burning. Because it was Shabbos. You don't burn things on Shabbos. You have two different explanations for what this person saw in my house yesterday. So he's going to make the wrong assumption. He's going to assume the only reason we didn't use it was because of burning.
But if it would have been just because of the chana, we could have used it, actually.
That's what he's going to think.
Right.
Exactly. And the fear that we have is that when the first day is not Shabbos, but when the first day is instead Yom Tov, and this reason of burning isn't relevant, he's going to assume you can use the wood. That's what we're saying. Michael, are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we're suggesting. The leap in this is the statement that because you use it the second day, people are now going to assume that you could have used it the previous day. That's where I'm not quite.
Distinction is between eating and burning, effectively.
Well, true, but just in general, forget that. In other words, when I see that wood is burning in a house on Sunday, why does that make me assume that I could have really burned it yesterday? That's what the Gemara says we're concerned about you doing. I'm not clear on why, but that's the assumption. Alan, you were going to.
No, this whole thing, you're making Gezera in a situation where if Shabbos came second, this would be totally inapplicable.
Correct. And you don't make a gzera for that case.
Right.
The gzera is specifically where it's Shabbos first and then Yom Tov.
So Shabbos, Yom Tov, you don't use it on the second day either, where it's Yom Tov.
Only. That's correct. You don't use it on the second
only
day.
Only things you could have used, or sorry, it's only things that you...
That had no other reason to... Only things
no,
that had no other...
You could have used.
No, only
no, you
things,
could not have used.
Correct. Where, only things that had no other reason to prevent their use the day before.
Right.
But where? But if a second day is Shabbos,
or that had another reason.
Day anyways,
sorry, only things
it.
That had a yeah. another only things right the wood only things that had another reason why you couldn't use it the day it. Before, because
yeah.
then people are going to be misled.
But the second day of Shabbos is irrelevant anyway.
That's exactly what Alan just said.
Yeah, but
yes.
the whole issue wouldn't even come up. It wouldn't.
It doesn't. They're only discussing here Shabbos leading into Yom Tov.
Where would be Nogay is where you had 2 days Yom Tov, followed after Shabbos or something like that, or just 2 days under.
Yeah.
There would be. No.
But then again, but then you'll know. Because we could have used it yesterday if not for the Muxa issue. It isn't the problem. The only time you have the Gezera is Shabbos leading into Yom Tov. It doesn't make sense for the 2 days Yom Tov.
No, but if you have 2 days Yom Tov, the first day Yom Tov, the wood fell down. You didn't use the wood.
Everybody knows why you didn't use it.
How do you know? You didn't know the wood fell down.
No. We are assuming that all facts are known. The only legal theories are not known, facts are known. Because otherwise, you could have said, well, you know, I didn't use the egg, I wasn't hungry. I don't like raw eggs, I'm afraid of salmonella. You could have given all sorts of other explanations. We are assuming that certain things are known and certain things are not known. And that there are givens that people would eat an egg if they have an egg. Pre-refrigeration, odds are, you use the eggs right away. Right? You don't want to hold on to eggs, because...
If somebody held his Kedusha Achas, you still wouldn't be able to use it the second day.
No one here is holding Kedusha Achas. Everyone here is holding Shtei Kedushas.
No
Achana,
no
Kedusha. No Achana, the Rabbah, because this is Rabbi Yochanan, and two Kedushas. The only factor here is the Gezerah. That's the only one. So I brought you here on the sheet under Bays a summary of what we saw in this topic about Shabbos and Yom Tov, one leading into the other. The first point was that both Rav and Rabbi Yochanan agree that these are two separate kedushos, even though Malacha did not become permitted between the two. It doesn't matter, they're still viewed as 2 days with two separate kedushos. And therefore, that which is muktzah on one day is not necessarily muktzah on the next day. The Eruv can be set up in one place on one day and one place the other day. The second point is that Rav believes that we are worried about Hachana de Rava, that the first day cannot be used as preparation for the second day. And we, in fact, follow Rav. Which means that, unlike Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to an egg laid on the first day, the egg will be asur on the second day. Then we had a discussion about the wick, right? The discussion about the wick that was burning on the first day and whether that nail was prepared for the second day. So we had a machlokas about that. And we said that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who is so lenient about a hundred derabah and so on, nonetheless, the egg is off limits on the day that it is laid. The egg is laid on the first day, it is off limits on the first day, the second day is when it will become mutter. And then we had the case of the two hosts, who had eggs that were laid on the first day. We had a nice little sidetrack into the drunken posik. We said shikur al yore, and then we had our discussion over here.
Is there anyone who disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan on the second case of the dekel, the dekel?
Meaning about the gezerah?
Yeah.
No, because everybody else is going to say it's aser anyway because of achana derava.
So it's kind of curious. The Gemara says that paskin like Rabbi Yochanan on the dekel. Goes on to say that not on the beya but on the dekel.
The what are you looking at?
The Gemara.
The Gemara doesn't say anything about who we paskin like. What are you looking at?
I guess it's Rabbeinu Chananel.
Oh, you're looking at Rabbeinu Chananel.
Yeah, he says, Hilchasa, Havasa, Be'etim, Veloba, Be'et.
Well, that's because everybody's going to agree that it's off limits.
Yeah, so it's kind of unusual.
It doesn't make it. It won't change anything.
Yeah, because everybody holds the same thing. Why you know,
yeah.
Seems a little bit strange.
So also, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold back Be'etilin. I am told completely off.
No, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the egg is mutzah on day one.
But this is not in according with.
Beis Hillel only said day one. Beis Hillel didn't discuss the 2-day setup.
Yeah, but Beis Hillel said on the first day it's okay to use.
No, Beis Hillel said it's aser.
Beis Shammai
said it's mutzah. Beis Hillel said it's aser. This was one of the strict cases for Beis Hillel, remember?
Right.
Beis Hillel said it's aser on
day one. Yeah, so it's Beis Shammai.
Yeah. So he can disagree with Beis Shammai. We're good with that.
Okay.
Okay, so that's where we are now. Because we mentioned this case of wood falling into an oven on Yom Tov, we now get a second case of wood, of wood falling from a tree on Yom Tov. We now get a second case, which is wood falling into an oven. It really that is the entire association between the first case and the second case is that it involves wood falling from a tree on Yom Tov. That's our sole point of departure here. From one case to the next. Amar Rav Masna, we are about 10 lines down. Rav Masna says, Eitzim shenashru min hadekel lesoch hatanur biyom tov. If wood falls from a palm tree into an oven on Yom Tov, okay, this is a trick. You set up your oven underneath the tree, and that way you have a constant supply of wood. You would have done better with like one of those plane trees. Right, the variety of sycamore that sheds wood.
Right.
Like, I don't think palm trees really shed wood. But nonetheless, it fell from the palm tree right into the oven on Yom Tov. So now what am I supposed to do? Right? If you're not going to allow me to cook in my oven on Yom Tov, it means I'm out an oven all of Yom Tov. So what am I supposed to do here? So what he says you do is, Marba aleihem eitzim muchanin umasikan. Add wood that is not mukta, wood that was prepared for this use already, and then you can light everything together.
Why
are you allowed to do it? You tell me.
Bittul.
That's correct.
Everything that is allowed is bittul.
You're just going to be Howie's away. Yes, but eventually get enough there, we're going to say that it's bittul. You're right. But it's gonna be batal. So that's the idea for what you're doing here. Now, a couple of notes that relate to this. Take a look at source Gimel on your sheets. An interesting machlokas here regarding this. The Ran writes, Umistabra, it's logical to say, Didavka b'she'eno makir atzei ha'isur la'achar shenis arvu. That this only works if you could not identify the usur wood by looking at it after it was all mixed together. Hamakiran, but if you recognize them, ein bitul mo'ilahen, then bitul will not be effective. Shein bitul mo'iladavashu nikr la'ayin, because bitul doesn't work if you can actually tell where the item is, right? In other words, if I had a situation in which a piece of meat fell into a big vat of milk, and I said, well, it's okay because it's less than 1/60th of the mixture, but I can see the piece of meat floating in there, I don't get to eat it. It's obvious where it is. So to here, the Ran says, you have to be unable to identify the wood that came from the tree. That's the Ran. However, the Yamshel Shlomo, written by the Marashal or Shlomo Luria, disagrees in source Dalid. He says, after mentioning this Ran, all the other authorities did not make such a distinction between where you can tell or where you can't tell. And so it appears. Because this is unique. It's not like other types of bitul. Why? Because as the Gemara is going to note in several lines, this is more lenient because you're incinerating the Isser. The mixture isn't remaining there. This prohibited item is going to disappear. And
so
therefore
it's... because it's going to disappear.
Look, I'm going to make this chazer disappear. The magic trick.
It's indirect, in essence.
It's not that it's indirect, but it's that its use destroys it. And because its use destroys it, it's somehow more lenient. I hadn't thought about your question about when you eat something, it also disappears. But that's his argument.
But it adds to the heat, which results in cooking something.
Correct. But it's a funny thing, but you're right. He says that's the position of the Yamshel Shlomo. You're going to see it in the Gemara. He's not making this up. He's making up the application onto this issue. But the Gemara is going to tell us in several lines that we are more lenient regarding Bittul, where it's something that is going to be destroyed.
Mind you, this is just a Durabana.
The whole thing is a Durabana.
Yeah, versus trade.
Which is also going to come in a couple of months.
You really can't identify which part of that heat resulted in the cooking of a particular object. It's like it melds together, regardless of whether you can identify it or not.
So this was obviously just an open hearth, right?
I would assume. I don't know how else the thing fell there.
Right, I guess you just put your pot on, right on the wood.
Maybe you have a chain that you suspend it from two posts or something.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning some kind of cauldron.
Could be a piece of bread that's in the, you know, stuck on the wall in the oven, so to speak.
Right. No, but the question is physically where you
physically put it. How does this happen?
I think you should make sure your pot isn't there when the wood is falling.
One hose, but that won't be a problem because then it probably won't fall in, or you'll be able to identify.
Well, the problem is you don't want to eat it. You don't want to eat the wood. That's the problem.
Well, you just said it's forbidden to
could
use.
Could be a little shaft inside.
Fell on the ontif. Yeah. Why does it matter if it's on the table or if it fell directly? It's allowed or it's forbidden.
I don't understand your question.
We said it's forbidden to use a wood that fell on yontif.
Correct.
So why don't we hear that it fell into the oven?
We do.
No, we said we it's allowed.
Care.
We just have to put a little more wood and you
correct.
Can use it.
But why are you requiring me to put in the extra wood? Because this wood that fell from the tree is usser. That's
but
the whole
keep
point.
Using it.
Right. The reason why I need to be mevatel is because.
Okay, so why don't you pick up a little bit more wood from your table and you put everything together into the oven? I really don't see the difference. Either it's allowed or it's forbidden.
So Charlie says, let's take this a step further. Let's take this kula a step further. Once you're going to be mekel and say, let's let you do this in the oven, why can't I do it with the stuff on the table?
Yep,
right? That's your question.
Yes,
so the answer is the line that I used to introduce this, which is if wood falls into my oven and the wood is usser, and you're going to tell me I have no way now to use my oven, I'm out an oven all for the entire day of Yom Tov. I can't cook my food for Yom Tov. Whereas, if this wood falls onto the table, it's a nuisance. I can move it because it's, you know, I can find a way to be able to use my space, managing the mukzeh issues, but it's not a big deal for me. If it falls into my oven and now my oven is off limits to me, that's a big deal. Then I'm stuck. That's the difference. So for the oven, they're going to recommend bittul. Now, we're not done, because bittul was a problem. That's where the Gemara has to go with this. I just stopped to understand this. But I have a separate problem here that relates to this discussion and to the previous one. Why is this wood mukta?
The one that falls from the tree?
Yeah, why is the wood that falls from the tree mukta?
Because it was still on the tree at the beginning of Shabbos.
And therefore?
No.
No different than any
so,
piece of fruit.
So Charlie is familiar with the riff. Take a look at source number hey.
I guess I am.
Far now.
Maybe, no, it could be that you read the Rambam, because the Rambam quotes this riff. The riff says, Vim nashru min hadek al b'yom tov, if wood falls from the palm tree on Yom Tov, asur lahasikan b'yom tov b'fnei atzman, you would not be allowed to light them on Yom Tov on their own, meaning without the bittul help. Mishum dahavalahu nolad, because it is nolad. But then the Rambam continues and says, "Va'asri lehu rabbanan shema yalev yislosh," and the rabbanan prohibited it, lest you take wood off of the tree. So Alan says, "Wait a minute! I remember something like this." Right? We talked about prohibiting the egg from the chicken lest you permit fruit that falls from a tree. And we prohibit fruit that falls from a tree lest you pick fruit. So why do I need this really second explanation? Well, if it's Noah, why do I need Shema Yalev Yislosh? Why do I need a gzera of lest you climb a tree to get fruit or to get wood or anything else? It should be Noah and you should be done. So the Rif's formulation is that, yeah, there's an added derabanan of Shema Yalevi Yislosh. There's the Nolan issue, which may be the Oraisa, maybe. Or derabanan. I think we ended up saying it was a derabanan. And then we have this added thing, this added derabanan. So that leads to two questions, really. Let's make it two questions. Number one, who needs this derabanan? And number two, really, why is this Nolad? Nolad means something new has been created. Wood was on the tree, now wood is on the ground. What's been created? So the Eben Ha'azza by Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer in source Vav addresses this. Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer is a Rav in Eretz Yisrael in the first half to two-thirds of the 20th century. They say, I think he's the one that they say about him, that he was actually able to write with both hands at the same time, writing two separate tshuvos.
I had a math professor at YU who also taught a Gemara Shir.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
Okay.
And he could solve two differential... He had something in his brain. He could solve two different differential equations at the same time, which, for those of us who could only write with one hand, made it very hard to take notes, because he would do two at the same time and then erase
them. He was showing off.
No, it was something in his brain that he could two step at the same time. So
multiprocessing. Same thing. Okay.
Is somebody's father-in-law?
This is all about. I have no doubt that he is. I have no doubt, but I don't know who. Okay, so Mr. Zalman Meltzer in Source Vav addresses this issue, trying to understand what's going on. Why are we even mentioning Nolad here? And once you have Nolad, what is this business of lest you climb a tree? V'hinei b'chulin kuf chav zayin amud beis tnan. He quotes you a Mishnah in Chulin. Ta'enim shetzamku be'ivehen. When you have figs that are on the tree, and the figs dry out while attached to the tree, mitamos tumas ochlim, so they are now able to receive tuma, like food can receive tuma, even though they're still attached to the tree. V'atolesh mehem b'shabbos chayev chatas. However, if you pluck them on Shabbos, you're liable for a chatas. In other words, they are not considered attached to the tree as far as tuma is concerned. They're called food already, even though fruit that's attached to a tree normally is not called food and cannot receive tumah. But on the other hand, they are called attached to the tree when it comes to the laws of Shabbos. So if you pluck the fruit from the tree, you violated Shabbos.
You violate Shabbos because you're picking.
Correct. Nothing to do with Nolad. No. All true. True. Pasak Harambam Perik Ches Mishabbos Halacha Dalet Perik Beis Mitumas Ochlin Halacha Lamed. Hey, he shows you where the Rambam says this. Fine. Vinira, he says, second line. He says, when we say that fruit that falls from a tree is called Motza, and we say it's like Nolad, like something new, that's specifically where it's fresh, correct? Where it did not dry out like this. Where it was normal fruit, in other words, on the tree. On Erev Shabbos, v'yonkin me'ilin, it was being supported by the tree. Dekeven delo chashivi ochel, since it wasn't called food when it was attached to the tree, ukshenashru b'shabbos chashivi kenolad, when it falls from the tree on Shabbos, that's nolad because it becomes food. Its halachic status changes. Now it's able to receive tuma, for example. Aval, however, peros shetzamku b'ivehen, if you have fruit that already died, so to speak, when it was on the tree, it was still attached because the stem hadn't broken yet. But the stem is really not communicating any nutrition from the tree to the fruit. Im nashu b'shabbos lo chashivi nolad. So if it falls off on Shabbos, there's no nolad involved. It was already called food before, when it was attached to the tree.
And you could eat it.
And, well, except that you couldn't separate it on Shabbos, because it's attached. So, umikomakom, that's the rest of the line. Bevadai hava aleim taras mechubar le'inyan Shabbos. It was called connected to the tree as far as the laws of Shabbos are concerned. V'atalash mehen chayiv chadus. If you separate it, you bring a chadus.
If it's on its own, you should be able to eat it.
Correct. No nolad has taken place. A fruit, that's what he's really saying. Under the laws of nolad, a fruit that was already not getting nourishment from the tree before Shabbos, that falls on Shabbos, is mutter. There's no nolad involved. And so now you see where he's going to go with this. Right? He's going to say, that's where the gezeira of don't use fruit that comes from a tree, lest you pick fruit from the tree, comes into play. It's not relevant for the, it's not needed for fruit that was actually being nourished by the tree on Friday. But it's needed for fruit that wasn't getting any nourishment from the tree anymore. You know, and he mentions one case. I'm envisioning another case. Let's say you have a scenario in which, we had the ice storm and the branch died. The branch was already severed. It's hanging on by nothing, right? And the fruit is attached to that. So there again, the fruit isn't getting any nutrition from the tree at all. If it falls on Shabbos, so I'll say it's not nolad. However, it will still have this other issue, the Rabbanan issue of lest people pick fruit on Shabbos. To continue his thought in his second paragraph in Sor Zvav, V'chein gabei eitzim shenashru min hadekel, so too regarding wood that falls from a palm tree, the kasav harif t'chashivi nolad, the riff wrote that it is considered nolad, he davka be'elu ha'anafim ha'yonkin me'ha'ilan, is only nolad if you're talking about fruit that was on a, or wood that was actually, it's wood now, we're not dealing with fruit anymore, wood that was being supported by the tree. Aval anafim she'yavshu, but if the branch is dried, ve'ein yonkin klal min ha'ilan, and it's not being nourished at all from the tree, chashivi eitzim, it's just wood. Velo havi ben shirasan kenolad, and when it falls off, it's not nolad. And now we understand why the Rif has to give two different reasons why you can't use the wood that falls from the tree. And he goes on, but you already understand what he's saying. I'm not going to read
it. What about the decal that it didn't have fruit on it? A palm tree.
Yeah.
It had a dead branch on it.
Right.
Nobody's going to pick the fruit on it because it's just a branch. There's no fruit there.
But what about the wood itself? People use the wood.
Yeah, but the gezerah.
The gezerah is not just for fruit. No, the gezerah is just shema yale v'yislosh. It doesn't say what you'll be talish. It just says lest you go up to get whatever it is that you're using. So in this case, it's wood. I need, the question is, why would I need the wood? If I am Shabbos observant to the extent that I'm not going to light a fire, then why is this an issue? Fruit, I could think that I can do it because I can eat fruit. What am I going to do with the wood? So I'm not clear on that. It's an interesting question. Why do I need a gezerah of Shema Yala V'Yislash when it comes to wood? Unless you're going to say it's a low pluk.
It's not nolad, and there's no gezerah. It should be rid.
No, the answer may be that it's a low plug. In other words, don't use things that fall off of trees on Shabbos because people might come to think you can use fruit, which makes sense in the context of what we saw a couple of months ago. When we said don't use the egg from the tree, the egg from the chicken, lest you use the fruit from the tree. If you're going to tell me I have to worry about people going egg to fruit, then I certainly have to worry about people going wood to fruit. It's a much shorter leap. So the upshot of this, I brought all of this just to answer the question of why is this wood off limits anyway? And the answer is because it has gone from being a living thing that was attached to a tree to being this dead piece of wood. That's the that's where the nolad will come into play, separate from the decree of lest you take things off of a tree. Understood? Okay. So what we have in the Gemara at this stage is just the opening line that Rav Masna says, if the wood falls into your oven, the wood is off limits, so what you'll have to do is add wood and then light the oven. That's his statement. Now the Gemara is going to have three different questions to ask, I think. Three different questions to ask about how exactly you're permitting this. But that's what we'll pick up, I think, next time, rather than start on something brand new. But just to summarize what we've said, because I want to make sure that it was somewhat clear. We started out again with this Shabbos into Yom Tov thing. And what we said was that aside from the concern for one Kedusha, two Kedushos, aside from the concern for Hachana de Rabba, even if those do not apply, we have this unique third factor that Rabbi Yochanan introduces, a gezeira that if the item is going to be mutter on day two, then people are going to think that they could use it that they could have used it on day one. Unless it's clear that there is no other reason why they didn't use it on day one, like in the case of the egg. But if they might write it off to something else, like the Isser on burning wood, then we're going to say, then don't use it on day two, lest people think that it's even mutter on day one, in the case where day one is Yom Tov, as opposed to Shabbos. That was our opening part. Then we saw this tangent about the wood falling into the oven, and the bittel possibility. We'll pick up with that. Got it really next week. Next week we are back to 8:30. I finished my Daniel.